never disconnected.
No, no, no.
In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be.
There is nothing that is too hard.
Falling in love.
Falling in love.
Have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT Lake Charles 100.1.
We're tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Pastor Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located at 208 Anacoma Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Now on last month, I believe I talked to the ladies. But now, and the men sit back in the rear, but today I'm going to talk to the men. Amen. They don't talk to the men, they since this is the men. They, however, the message reaches out to all of us. Yeah. Amen. Specifically, we're focusing on the men. And one of the reasons is the fact that as we look in our churches and as I look in this place, I see more women than I see men.
All right, Pastor.
And when you go in most churches, you see a whole lot of women in a
right.
If women stop coming, I believe we'd be at the close of church. However, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right, Reverend.
And then sometime in the church, you have some men, but they're not really the men. They're just going through the movie. And you know one thing, a man who gossips is a strange man. That person can start a whole lot of mess. And we look at the women, we just let y'all go with it. That's in nature. but with men, a gossiping man is dangerous. Are you with me? Amen. Look with me now in the book of Ezekiel in your Old Testament in the 22nd chapter. The 22nd chapter of Ezekiel.
All right.
And we want to focus on verse number 30. However, in this pericope, verse 23 through 31, God is talking to Israel, leaders, about their wickedness. He's trying to get them to come back to the Lord. Uh-huh. Everybody got to say amen. The 22nd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to just read verse 28 to 30, but our emphasis and our text come from verse number 30. Amen. And it reads, verse 28, her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus said the Lord God, for the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land had used oppression, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank you for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you would allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst and grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we will be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. I love you, pray, and thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. A little while with your prayers.
Yeah, man.
I want to talk from the subject, a call for kingdom men.
Right.
In the text, looked all over the place to find one, but I couldn't find any. And so let me begin by saying that, thank you, Arisha, the goal of this message is to share with the audience the difference between a kingdom man and all others. Because Christian character and leadership is based upon God's standards and not ours. And so in text, Ezekiel 22:30, God is crying out for a kingdom man so that he would not have to destroy the people, but he couldn't find one. And in the same way, my brothers and sisters, today we are lacking kingdom men. And as a result, we are destroying ourselves.
All right.
For we know that statistics on the fatherless in America shows that roughly 70% of all prisoners come from fatherless homes, as well as 80% of all rapists. Also, fatherless homes produce 71% of high school dropouts and 63% of teen suicide. And so God has called and is calling fathers and men of the church into the communities and into our homes. But ever before we can become the kind of man that God is looking for and is looking to bless, we need to realize that just being a male does not qualify us for the blessings of God. Because it takes more than merely wearing pants with a zipper in front and carrying our wallets in our hip pockets and being able to impregnate a female, amen, for one to become a man of God who he will bless. And although the church in many cases is growing in number of church men, but God is calling for kingdom men. Men have a growing number of men entering into the door of the church, but many men in the church is suffering from what they call the loser's limp.
Well,
Now the loser's limp is what happens when a football player is supposed to catch an easy pass that's thrown in his direction, but he misses the pass because he just jitted it. Now he don't want anybody to know that he blew it because of his mistake, and so he falls down to the ground and he gets up limping. When a runner is going to get beaten in the 100 or the 100-meter dash, and he sees that even though he should be winning because he's the favorite, but now he's getting dusted, and all of a sudden he grabs his leg as if he's having a muscle cramp. And so a loser's limp is a way of camouflaging our failures. And my brothers and sisters, when we have many Christian men who are camouflaging their failures to be men of the kingdom. In other words, we give excuses like if it were not for the way I was raised, well, my father left my mother, and everybody else is doing it, and if it wasn't for this old woman, I got it. The fact is, whatever a man's excuses may be for failure to fulfill God's agenda, he still doesn't get the job done. But now you need to understand that this message this morning is not what the young folk call a player-hating message, but it's to help, yes, Lord, encourage Christian men to be all that God has called us to be, and live out our kingdom destiny with the faith, the power, and the grace of God. And so I come this moment to confront and challenge Christian men in the church, as well as perhaps those who may be listening by way of radio, to live up to their calling and destiny, meaning God's kingdom is desperately short of kingdom-minded men. Because God is calling men to faithfulness to his son Jesus Christ, to the family, as well as to the church. But the fact remains that far too many men are missing in action. Now, there's another statistic that says 41% of all American children will go to bed tonight without a father to pray with them and tuck them in to bed. In the African American and the community, Hispanic community, that figure rises to about 70%. And so we must understand that throughout the Bible, listen carefully, men, whenever Satan wanted to destroy a civilization and attempt to stop the plan of God's kingdom, he went after the male seed. He didn't go after the woman. For instance, Sodom and Gomorrah perished because Satan perverted their mind and called them to lust after other men rather than to love, cherish, and marry women. Are y'all here? In Egypt, in the time of Moses, to stop the population growth, Pharaoh wanted to kill off all the male Hebrew children. In Jesus' time, Herod wanted to kill off all the male children, hoping to kill the one who was born the king of the Jews, talking about the Christ child. And so our challenge is that just as the weather was real foggy on Thursday, y'all remember that? There's a spiritual fog that has descended over many men today. But now it is said that 6 blocks worth of fog contain no more than approximately 1 glass of water. In other words, fog is a lot like smoke, a little substance. And so that describes the situation that we are facing in the church today when it comes to kingdom men. But my brothers and sisters, it doesn't have to be that way, because God has an exciting and challenging, fulfilling kingdom agenda for his men, and I want us to do more than just to consider it, but I want us to start walking in it and living in it in our daily lives. Right. And so with your prayers, there are 3 things I want to lift in your hearing to show what a kingdom man looks like that God was calling and is calling today from my text. And I'll let you alone. Well, now the first thing we see is that a kingdom man has vision. Meaning God is seeking kingdom men, men who have vision. In other words, one who has God's vision for his life in the kingdom, and he takes on God's virtues and values. And as a result, he experienced kingdom victory. Because God, I need to tell us, is not hiding his will from man, but he's always looking for men whose hearts are faithful to him. For the Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel 3:14 that the prophet Samuel told King Saul that the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. Then in the days of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, his cry was that there was no man who could be found faithful to the Lord. And so God told Jeremiah, he wanted him to roam the streets of Jerusalem and find just one man who does justice and who seeks the truth. Then God promised that if Jeremiah could find one just man, he would pardon the people and he would frame the hand of their enemies. But Jeremiah could not find one man of justice and truth among the rich nor the poor, according to Jeremiah 5:1-5. And so in our text, God said that he was looking for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the city, but he couldn't find anybody. My brothers and sisters, God has always been hunting and looking for faithful men. But now there are plenty of males in the world, but what God wants is a man after his own heart. He wants a man who has vision of what God can do through him as he yields himself, amen, to the kingdom agenda. He wants a man who will walk in the virtues and values of the kingdom, who will trust him for victory in every area of his life. But now I believe I can hear somebody thinking, now, what is the kingdom's agenda that God has given to men? Well, the answer is found in Genesis 1:26. And so note, if you will, that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. But now let me say that God included the woman in this too, because the term man here is used for mankind and not just the male. No, he said, let them have dominion. But then Adam would be given the headship in his relationship with Eve, so that he is able to be the servant leader carrying out the kingdom agenda. In other words, God wants man to rule and dominate the whole entire earth on his behalf as his kingdom representative. Meaning the vision God gave Adam was a worldwide vision, and its dimensions were staggering. Because Adam and Eve were not only to rule the earth, but he was to bear and reproduce in the image of God on earth. In other words, they were to have children. Now, that's a kingdom-sized vision that is bigger than any one man can pull off by himself. In other words, God gave Adam something that was much larger than himself. But God was allowing Adam the privilege to get in on what he or God was going to do, and all Adam had to do is see the big picture and follow God. Well, what about you this morning, brothers? Has God called you to do something that is far too big for you to accomplish on your own apart from his power? Well, if so, I need to say congratulations, because you've been chosen, yes, Lord, and given a kingdom vision. You are a special, peculiar, set-apart man of God. Because you see, a lot of men are satisfied just to put in 8 hours on a job, collect a paycheck, go home, and then go fishing. But now God gave Adam a job so that he could achieve a higher goal, a kingdom agenda.
And so if you cannot sit down right now and articulate God's kingdom calling on your life, then something is missing in your life. And you'll never find fulfillment as a man without it. Because vision is the ability to see beyond the immediate, and the ability is the ability to see the big picture and preferably the future that God has planned for you. Because the kingdom vision is a view of life that's larger and bigger than just getting by day by day. In other words, kingdom vision is God's calling that allows us to make an impact for eternity while we're here in history. In other words, the kingdom vision is God's calling that motivates us to impact our home for its glory, to impact your job, impact your children's life, to impact your marriage, to impact your community, and impact your church.
Yes,
well, just in case someone doesn't understand the word impact, it means to have a strong effect on someone or something. And in this case, we have to have a strong effect on all of the things I just named for the glory of God. And that God's kingdom may come to earth as it is in heaven. And so that's why God has called you and me to something that is bigger than life itself. He's called us to set the pace and show the way in the church and ultimately in the kingdom. But now, if the sum total of your life is working 48 hours to 60 hours a week, coming home reading the old newspaper, watching a little sports and a few television shows, don't be surprised if your life don't become boring, because even attending church in and of itself won't make a difference if you're not pursuing a vision that is so big that only God can give you the power to accomplish it. Meaning if you're going to be a man of the kingdom, then you must first allow God to develop a kingdom vision in your life. Now, the Bible is filled with stories of kingdom men, but probably none, in my opinion, stand out any more than Stephen the deacon. Now, his story is recorded in the books of Acts, chapter 6 and 7. So let's look at this kingdom man and see if we can glean from him what God desires from us as kingdom men. Well, now Stephen had a kingdom vision because he understood his calling in light of his history and what God had already been doing in the life of Israel and what God was going to do to bring his plan and purpose to fulfillment. And so in Acts 7, Stephen reviewed the history of Israel, and he pointed out the big picture of God to his accusers. But now, in so doing, he spoke with such authority and power until the Bible says that those listening were cut to their hearts. And so in Acts 7, 51 through 54, we see that the reason Stephen could speak with such boldness was because he understood the big picture. He understood the vision of God's kingdom. He understood that he was not created simply to have a job, have a family, and make money and then die, but to live and make a difference for God's kingdom here on earth.
Right.
And so a kingdom man has vision. Well, secondly, a kingdom man has kingdom virtues and values. Well, let's look at the virtues and values of Stephen, this kingdom man that we're talking about. Well, in Acts 6:3 and the following shows that the one word that emphasizes Stephen's life is the word fullness.
All right.
Because he was full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and full of power. Now, in Scripture, when you see the term full, it means to be controlled by. In other words, the virtue of a kingdom man is that something or someone other than himself controls him. And meaning faith, wisdom, and power, ultimately, the Holy Spirit controls a kingdom man. Because he is a God-controlled man that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, and one who seeks to lead people into the kingdom. Simply put, he's one who leads people in the kingdom by calling them to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and allowing him to have rule in their lives. And so being full of faith means that Stephen was faithful, because you cannot be a kingdom man and not be dependable. So let me ask you this morning, can God depend on you? Can the church depend on you? Can your wife and children depend on you? Can those on the job depend on you? My brothers and sisters, a kingdom man is dependable, and that's why he makes an impact on the lives of others. But now, being full of wisdom means Stephen was able to apply what he knew, because wisdom is the ability to apply what you learn. In other words, he had learned the word of God and the grace of God, and he had the ability to apply it. Being full of power means that Stephen was a man who believed in and released the miracle-working power of God through his life. In other words, he wasn't ashamed of God using him and manifesting himself in his life and strength in unusual ways in order to draw folk to Christ. But now being full of the Holy Spirit means that the anointing of Christ was evident on Stephen's life. And that's why he was able to speak with such authority that the Holy Spirit led him to speak as Christ spoke on at his death on the cross. Because like Jesus, when he was being stoned to death, the Bible says in Acts 7, 59 and 60, that Stephen was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And so kingdom man has virtues and values. Well, now finally, I told you it wouldn't be too long. A kingdom man has kingdom victory. In other words, my brothers, as a kingdom man, if you're going to experience kingdom victory, then it's a must that you keep your eyes not on the challenges of life, not on the pressures of the world, not on the enemies of your mission, but you ought to keep your eyes focused on the King of Glory, because that is the only way to taste the kingdom victory. But notice also the word says in Acts 7 and 2, it said where Stephen said, brethren and fathers, he said, listen, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Verse 55 said, and it is said, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And in verse 56, it said, he said, look, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But now the text says in Ezekiel 22 and 30, that God said, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness, that God the land. He said, I pray for someone to stand in the gap in the wall, so I wouldn't destroy the land, but I couldn't find one. But now the wall spoken of here is not made of stone, but faithful people united in their efforts to resist evil. Meaning the wall in the text was in disrepair because there was no one who could lead people back to God, because their feet will attempt to repair the gap through religious rituals, a message based on opinion rather than the word of God, was as worthless as being whitewashed, only covering up the real problem, because what the people really needed was a total reconstruction. Meaning when we give the appearance of loving God without living his way, we're covering up our sins that will eventually damage us deeply. And so we are not to use religion as a whitewash, but we have to repair our lives by applying the principles of God's word to our lives. And then you can join other kingdom men to stand in the gap and make a difference for God in the world. And so as